The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Morning Drive here on WTBR. Bob Heck here with you, and let's take a look at the chilly forecast.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny this morning, then becoming partly sunny. Cold with highs around 16. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 8 below this morning. Tonight, mostly clear. Cold with lows around 4 above. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the evening. Wind chill values as low as 8 below. Wednesday, sunny in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Not as cold with highs in the upper 20s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the afternoon. Wind chill values as low as 6 below in the morning. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold. That is the message to take from that. It is not going to be warm over the next few days. We were a little bit spoiled last week. And now we're back to winter here in the Berkshires. It's Bob Heck here on a Tuesday morning, 7:31. And we don't have a guest this morning. Again, my daughter told me her midterm was on the 27th. It's today. And she's not missing her midterm to do this radio show. So I thought, you know, I'll just sleep in. We'll just air a rerun. We figure out this whole guest thing. And then, you know, I watched football all weekend. Surprise, surprise. I'm sure that doesn't surprise anybody. I watched football, and I'm like, I could do an hour on each of these games. Well, not the Seattle 49ers game, because that was hot garbage. Although that was somewhat to be expected, because the 49ers don't have anyone left. That whole team's hurt. And they did not put up a good effort in Seattle. The funniest part of the whole thing was that game opened with Seattle as a 7-point favorite. And then the Sam Darnold news came out that, oh, he hurt his oblique. He might not play. Everybody in the world knew he was going to play. Like, there was zero question about that whatsoever, that Sam Darnold was going to play in this football game on Sunday. Sure enough, he played. And sure enough, the Seahawks absolutely curb-stomped the 49ers, and that will set up the third game of the trilogy this year between the Seahawks and the L.A. Rams. But first, before we get into the NFL from the weekends, and a lot of fascinating things happened over the weekends, it just never stops with the NFL, just a ton of fascinating things beyond the games as well. Jeff Hafley is the new coach of the Miami Dolphins. I don't know much about him. He's the defensive coordinator, was the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, but he's now heading to Miami. And breaking overnight, you may not even know this yet, Robert Saleh has been hired as the coach of the Tennessee Titans. Saleh, of course, had that disastrous run with the New York Jets a few years back, but everybody has a disastrous run with the New York Jets, so that's just par for the course. I'm a little surprised he took the Tennessee job. Typically in the NFL, you get two bites at the apple when you're a head coach and you're trying to break through. The Jets, one bite at the apple, that did not go well, and Tennessee, another team, I don't know if they're on the up or not. I'm not a Cam Ward believer. He has flashes. I'm just not a believer in Cam Ward, so I'm surprised Saleh took that job. I mean, you see a lot of those guys when they're coming for their second bite at the apple, even wait an extra year just to make sure they're in the right situation. But Robert Saleh heading to Tennessee to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And some breaking NBA news overnight. Jimmy Butler of the Golden State Warriors tore his ACL. He's done for the season. Tore his ACL. We've seen a lot of ACLs being torn the past few weeks in a variety of sports, but Jimmy Butler is done for the season. And before we jump into the NFL, I know New England in general, not big college football fans or college sports in general. Yeah, we do our brackets for the NCAA tournament, but you know, we're not really watching it until the conference tournaments for the most part. College football, Miami, you got to give them some credit because the day the CFP rankings came out as to who was going to the college football playoff, which seems like 150 years ago, right? That feels like that it didn't just happen. That felt like forever ago that they had that CFP show and discussed which teams would be in there. And Miami and Alabama were the two teams that were like, oh, what are they doing there? Where's Notre Dame? Miami shouldn't be there. Miami acquitted themselves really, really well in the college football playoffs, even with an opportunity to win the football game in the final minute of the game. But then Carson Beck happened, and Carson Beck, I think once Miami had the ball with the opportunity to win the game, you knew Carson Beck was going to throw that INT. I knew Carson Beck was going to throw that INT. We all knew Carson Beck was going to throw that INT. And sure enough, he did. What a terrible read that he was going to get that ball out there. And Indiana is your national champions in football. Who thought I would ever say that? Indiana, the Hoosiers, they've won three bowl games in the past week because the playoffs are technically the bowl games now. They've won three bowl games in the span of like 18 days or 19 days. That matches how many bowl games they've won in their entire history, those three games last night. But I do have a question. We're not going to get too deep in the college football playoff. It was an outstanding game last night that I thought Indiana was going to run away and hide, and Miami just kept fighting back. But, you know, I don't mind the players on the sidelines. I mean, they showed Michael Irving 474 times during that game last night. Ray Lewis is down there. Like, I don't mind the guys on the sidelines, but why are they allowed to talk to the players? Why are they allowed to coach them up? I mean, they had that ominous shot of Ray Lewis, you know, wearing that that colorful outfit, talking to Carson Beck before that last drive. And I'm like, what's going on in that conversation? Is Ray Lewis saying, you better get this done because I've gotten away with it once already? I don't know what that conversation went like, but why are they allowed to talk to the players? That seems like that would be against the rules, that they're allowed to be on the sidelines talking to the players, coaching them up, and things along those lines. I just don't understand why that was allowed. But the Indiana Hoosiers, your college football champion, something, a sentence that just escaped my mouth that nobody thought we'd ever see. So congratulations, Indiana. They had a terrific season, undefeated season. Kurt Cignetti, you can't say enough about him. Just an amazing year by them. All right, let's get to the NFL. And let's talk about the Bills-Broncos game. I sat in this chair last Tuesday and I said, if Josh Allen delivers against that defense, the Broncos are in trouble because Bo Nix ain't that guy that's going to come back and lead you down the field and make those winning plays. He's just not that guy. And boy, was I wrong. That last drive to put the Broncos up three in the fourth quarter, that was a big boy drive right there. After the interception in OT, moving it downfield, getting into the field goal range, that was a big boy drive right there. Just an incredible performance by Bo Nix. I was completely wrong. I'm happy to say what I'm wrong. I'm not happy to say what I'm wrong, but I was wrong. Bo Nix was terrific. He is that franchise quarterback for the Denver Broncos. He is absolutely that franchise quarterback for the Denver Broncos. But not so fast, my friend. Not so fast, my friend. I feel terrible for Broncos fans. You get the highest of highs. You win that amazing game against the Buffalo Bills. And you're going to the AFC Championship game, and 20 minutes later, Sean Payton pops out, dressed like some extra auditioning for a part in the Dora Explorer live-action movie, And that's never good, right? When they're not wearing the team polo or something like that, when they're dressed like that, that's never good. That's like when you see the governor on TV wearing a windbreaker and a baseball cap. That never precedes good things. And sure enough, Bo Nix had broken his ankle and is out for the season. Out for the season, Bo Nix. Just unbelievable, shocking turn of events. And now Jared Stidham is going to be the starting quarterback in the AFC Championship game. I don't give them much chance. The defense got. Okay, they had a great first half against Josh Allen, but boy, did they look gassed in the second half. They looked completely gassed in the second half. And Josh Allen was able to do whatever he wanted to do for the most part. They allowed 20 points in the second half to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills to get back into this game. I mean, there were points late in the first half that this thing was over. You're looking at it and you're like, this thing's over. They're not going to be able to, you know, Denver's putting up points and Buffalo can't get things going. You're thinking this thing's over. And then, you know, you're just watching that second half and you're watching what they're doing and you're looking at the defense and you're like, these guys don't look good. They look very slow right now. And they allowed the 20 points. They stepped up in overtime on the quote-unquote interception that set up the game-winning field goal. Why doesn't the NFL know what a catch is? Why do we not know what a catch is? The NFL's been around for a billion years, and we still don't know what a catch is. And if you're a fan of either of the teams involved in a catch or no catch situation, it's terrifying because we still don't know what a catch is. I think that was a catch by Brandon Cooks that was taken away afterwards. But each and every year, for more games than not, we got to talk about the referees for each and every one of these games. And we got to talk about the referees here. Every big game like that, the stars of the show end up being these NFL refs. This might be the worst officiated league out there right now. NBA's a close second. MLB's there too. But the NBA might, or the NFL might be the worst officiated league right now. I mean, I was looking at my Facebook memories today, and today's the memory of that atrocious non-call in the NFC Championship game that involved the New Orleans Saints and the Rams a few years back, where the wide receiver's basically wide open and the defensive back bludgeons him, and they didn't call it, and it ended up costing New Orleans the game. And that was another one we had to have a discussion about with the referees about. The referees are the stars of the show way too many games in the NFL, particularly in the playoffs. Way too many. So Bo Nix is out. And then we get the shocker yesterday that the Bills fired Sean McDermott. He's been in the playoffs 8 straight years. And this might have been his best coaching job yet. Because that team, first off, I never heard of any of those guys they had at wide receiver until this season. I mean, that was it was brutal on the outside. Somehow Josh Allen got it done, as Josh Allen does, but some of those guys I never even heard of until this year. It's like, who's this dude? Who is this dude? That defense was put together with Bondo and duct tape. Just so many injuries, and to get to where he got to is remarkable. Probably should have been in a position to win that game in OT. But to look like you're done and then score 20 points in the second half for the Buffalo Bills, and you know, to get as far as they did and almost win that game, it doesn't seem like a fireable offense. And Sean McDermott has been a terrific coach for the Buffalo Bills. Terrific coach. And I wonder about the fans. I mean, obviously fans, some of them are idiots. They're like, oh, it's his fault. Get him out of here. For who? For who? Who's out there? Who are you bringing in? And somebody said Tomlin. Tomlin's the same coach as Sean McDermott. They went to the same school. They're both defensive-minded. They literally played football together at William & Mary. Literally. They're the same dude. Why would you fire one dude to hire the same dude? Plus, you're going to work out compensation with Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh still retains Mike Tomlin's right. Remember, they didn't fire him. Tomlin left. So it's a Sean Payton situation right now where you're going to have to trade for Mike Tomlin if you want him to be your coach. Plus, I don't think Tomlin's going to coach this year. I think he wants the year off. Do some TV, see how that whole thing goes. But Sean McDermott got canned. And I don't know who they could bring in to replace him. I mean, you know, Sean McDermott and Josh Allen were tight. Sean McDermott was at Josh Allen's wedding last year. Those two were tight. So I don't know how, I don't understand the reason for the replacement. And I think Sean McDermott's going to be that Andy Reid type. His next stop is going to be remarkable. Because if you remember Andy Reid, I mean, he had a great run with the Eagles, which seems like a billion years ago. But, you know, he's making conference championship games. Had a great relationship with Donovan McNabb, going to the Super Bowl. And they fire him. And at the time, we were all like, really? That's interesting. And then he signs with Kansas City, and we all know what happened there. We all know what happened with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's turned that program around. And I think Sean McDermott's going to be in a similar situation because, you know, it's just really interesting that they fired him. Just a tremendous coach, tremendous job over the last 9 seasons. And he's just gone, and I don't know where the Bills go with this. I just don't know. And, you know, I think GMs in general, yeah, he got 9 years. GMs, ownerships in general are just firing coaches and executives left and right. Maybe a little too soon for some, but they're just firing them left and right. I mean, 2002, if you go back to 2002, the coaches that are in the league in the AFC in 2002, the only one left is Andy Reid. Every other team in the AFC has turned their coaches over at least once. Andy Reid is the only coach from opening day in 2022 that's left. And that was only 3 years ago. He was the only, Andy Reid is the only coach left. So I don't know. If that was the right decision, only time will tell. But the big question is, who are they going to get? Who's coming to Buffalo? Who's going to be the coach? I'm sure people talk about Brian Daboll, who had a disastrous run with the Giants. And, I mean, listen, the Giants are the Giants. It's like the Jets. Everybody has a disastrous run with the Giants. It just doesn't go well there. It's difficult, and we'll see how John Harbaugh does. But I don't think that's going to excite people in Buffalo. And maybe it is a good choice because Daboll has a great relationship with, the city of Buffalo and Josh Allen. He was the offensive coordinator that really pushed Allen into that next realm, and that's how he ended up with the Giants job to begin with. So we'll see. What happens in Buffalo? Here's a fun statistic for you. And the NFL released this to owners, and because it's like, guys, settle down. Settle down with firing your coaches. From the years 2018 to 2022, in that 5-year span, NFL owners paid $800 million to coaches and executives they fired. $800 million. And for those of you unfamiliar, you know, you hire a head coach, you sign a contract, and that contract is for 5 years, so-and-so, so-and-so forth. If you fire him in year two, you still got to pay for all 5 years. You still got to pay the whole contract, you know, unless there's a Sharon Moore situation that we saw in Michigan, unless Urban Meyer, I don't know if he got paid out because that whole thing was a mess in Jacksonville. I don't know if that all happened. And so $800 million. Insane. And now we go to the Bears and the Rams. That was another great game, another overtime game. We had two really good NFL games this weekend. A complete dud with the 49ers and Seahawks. And the Pats and Texans was okay. It was an okay game. And we're going to spend a lot of time on the Pats and the Texans and the AFC, NFC championship games after the break. But let's talk about Bears and Rams. Caleb Williams, boy, was he feast or famine. Boy, was he feast or famine. He had three interceptions in that game. The first drive of the game, that interception was awful. I mean, he wasn't even close to the wide receiver, just completely overthrew him to the defensive back for the Rams. Just an awful throw. And you can make an argument that picking overtime was not the best decision as well. You could certainly make that argument, but that first pick was awful. And then fourth and goal with the game on the line, he hits Cole Kmet. I mean, that was an amazing play. So Caleb Williams can be there. He's like very hot and cold, sometimes within the same drive. I just don't know what to make of the guy. I don't know if he's your franchise quarterback solution. Great season. They've obviously turned things around there. I mean, that place has been a mess for a while. New coach comes in, turns it around. Would be the coach of the year if not for Mike Vrabel. Well, certainly into the discussion anyways. He'll be top three. And the Rams, Kyron Williams, three touchdowns in that game. Matthew Stafford, not his best effort, but he did enough to get it done. So another great overtime game and another bad interception in overtime to set up the game-winning field goal. So it's just a tough one. I don't think the Rams are going to hang with Seattle. That game is in Seattle. They got the Sunday night game. The Patriots and the Broncos will have the earlier game coming up on Sunday. And I don't see either of these games being close. We'll talk more about that after the break. But the Bears, it almost feels like, you know, when the Rams had Jared Goff, right? But this is our franchise guy. And he gets us a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer. And then just does something brutal to cost the team the game. Just interesting. So we'll see. I mean, I feel like Chicago is going to be in that purgatory where you're not winning championships. You're doing too well to get a good draft pick, but you're not winning championships. And that's like the absolute worst place to be. All right, so we'll take a short time out here. We'll talk a lot about the AFC, NFC championship games, Patriots and Texans. We'll talk about that game as well coming up here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Join us at the Pittsfield Farmers Market. More than just a place to shop, each month meet your local farmers, artisans, friends, and neighbors. Enjoy the bounty of the Berkshires at a market that's accessible to all shoppers. The market has fresh, local, and seasonal produce, meat, eggs, cheese, baked goods, flowers, artisan goods, and most of all, community. Join us once a month, every second Saturday, starting November 8th through April 11th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Zion Church.
If you thought you knew your music, think again. It's time has come to experience a full spectrum of music. You're locked into the Majestic Michelle Radio Show. I'm Michelle, and every Tuesday from 10 to noon, we're bridging the gap between genres, generations. We'll give you the smooth, iconic moves of Elvis, the raw power of Shinedown to Alabama and everything in between. Please listen to 89.7 WTBR-FM every Tuesday from 10 to noon.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
I think I got to find some music that's more aggressive when we're doing sports, because that doesn't sound like a sports talk show song right there. Bump, 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 bump. So we're going to talk a lot about the Patriots and the Texans coming up in the next half hour. I was considering opening up the phones, but I don't know how in God's name I do that. So I'll get a little training on that and figure it out for next time I'm put in this position. So, we can't open the phones today because I just have no, I don't even know the phone number off the top of my head. And I know there's a special phone number to get to the studio here. I don't know it off the top of my head. I just don't. Let's take a look at this terrible forecast.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny this morning, then becoming partly sunny. Cold with highs around 16. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 8 below this morning. Tonight, mostly clear. Cold with lows around 4 above. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the evening. Wind chill values as low as 8 below. Wednesday, sunny in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Not as cold with highs in the upper 20s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the afternoon. Wind chill values as low as 6 below in the morning. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
7:58, it is 10 degrees in Pittsfield right now. And, yeah, but it feels like something below. Who knows? And it's Bob Heck here on Morning Drive here on a Tuesday morning after a whole bunch of football over the weekends. And, you know, we talked about the Bills and the Broncos. We talked about the Bears and the Rams. We didn't talk much about the 49ers and the Seahawks because why would anybody talk about that? That was terrible. Seattle winning big over San Francisco. That was just not great. But what was great, and it wasn't a great game. It was a terrible game, okay? It wasn't fun to watch. But the Patriots beat the Texans on Sunday. So they're heading back to the AFC Championship game. And boy, I think NFL fans accidentally released the hell that they didn't want. They're like, we'll do anything, anything to keep Kansas City out of the Super Bowl this year. Keep them out of the playoffs. We'll do anything for that. And now the Patriots are back, baby. The Patriots are back, baby, in the AFC Championship game. It still feels surreal to me that the Patriots are going to be in the AFC Championship game again just so quickly. I mean, the Jets have been in a rebuild mode forever. The Patriots are in a rebuild mode for a couple of years. They found the quarterback. Drake May's outstanding. They found the quarterback. They've got the coach. It's all coming together again. And if you're a fan of a team that's not the Patriots, you can't be happy about any of this because you were sick of us before. Now it's Patriots 2.0, baby. Just absolutely unbelievable that they're quickly back in this position. But the defense, you know, everyone talks about the Texans defense. Everyone talks about the Broncos defense. The Patriots defense on Sunday was absolutely ridiculous. Was absolutely amazing. The Texans, I mean, we won't even get into what they did to CJ Stroud yet. We won't even get into that. Because they held them to 48 yards rushing, forced a fumble on the ground. And a lot of that 48 yards rushing was in garbage time, and when they were sort of letting them pick up a few more yards running the football because they wanted the clock to go. I think they had 8 yards rushing in the first half. CJ Stroud, I mean, I thought we were getting pretty close to Davis Mills time. So I fixed my camera. I thought we were getting pretty close to Davis Mills time. CJ Stroud, 4 picks. Each one more hilarious than the last. And here's the difference between CJ Stroud and Drake May. And Drake May wasn't awesome by any stretch of the imagination on Sunday. He got the job done. He had 3 touchdown passes. And we'll get to one of those in a little bit. But he had some bad fumbles. He had some... It wasn't Drake May's finest day. But compared to CJ Stroud, he looked like Tom Brady, vintage Tom Brady out there. You know, May knows when he's in trouble, get outside the pocket, throw the ball away. Get outside the pocket, throw the ball away. CJ Stroud, he's got 5 guys in his face. He's just chucking it out there. You get the pick six. CJ Stroud, 4 interceptions. He did throw for 1 touchdown pass. And, you know, last week we sort of sat here. I sat in this chair and I said, you know, they're going to go as far as CJ Stroud takes them. The defense is there. You know, the Texans defense, and they are brutal, man. They are brutal. That 2-0-0-4-0-4 dude is a menace. Anderson was a menace. Those are just some scary dudes on the Houston Texans defense. But the Patriots got enough to get it done. And not even so much they got enough, did enough to get it done. CJ Stroud in that offense just kept putting them in terrible positions. You know, he'd throw a pick and then the Texans would have to fight to hold the Patriots to either a punt or a field goal. Then Stroud would go 3 and out, and that defense is back on the field. I mean, it was amazing just how much the Patriots dominated that first half, that it was still a game. You know, Texans had a drive to begin the second quarter to get right back into it. And, of course, CJ Strouded, and it just didn't quite work out. But that first possession, it was all going to come down to what CJ Stroud did. I had a buddy ask me, how confident are you in the Patriots in this game? And I said, out of 10, 5. I'm a 5 out of 10. That defense is terrifying. It's going to come down to CJ Stroud. That's all it's going to come down to. CJ Stroud does what he can do, goes back to his rookie year, and plays like that, we're done. We don't have an answer. We don't have an answer for that if CJ Stroud plays at his best level, but he did not. play at his best level, and he wasn't even close. Four picks. And there was a point out there late in the first half where if they had a microphone on him, he might have said, "I'm seeing ghosts," like Sam Darnold said years back. Seeing ghosts out there. They just couldn't get anything going. And it didn't help that Woody Marks couldn't get anything going rushing. Nick Chubb wasn't great. And also Dalton Schultz, who got off to a great start in that game, he got hurt and didn't come back. So now they're down to their third string tight ends. I mean, none of it helped. Just a lot of injuries there in that game. I mean, just a real rough effort for the Houston Texans. But the Patriots defense was terrific. They held the run game and forced C.J. Stroud to get it done. And they're going to be in the same position this week. They're going to be in the same position this week where they're talking about potentially J.K. Dobbins coming back. They've opened his practice window. I don't think he's coming back. And if he does come back, he's not going to be 100%. He's not going to be 100% by any stretch of the imagination. So and against Buffalo's Bondo and duct tape defense, they couldn't get anything going on the ground either. It was all Bo Nix. So you've got, you know, Jared Stidham, a quarterback, versus Drake May. I mean, I think the game opened it with the Patriots as 4.5-point favorites in Buffalo in the AFC Championship game. It's already moved up to 5.5. But Drake May, 16 to 27, 179 yards, 3 touchdowns, the interception, had a couple of fumbles in there as well. Keyshawn Booty touchdown. That was ridiculous. What a ridiculous catch. The one-handed catch, diving, kept control of the football. It was a good throw by Drake May, too, to put him in that spot. I mean, the only one catching that was Keyshawn Booty. He was the only one that was going to make that catch there. And then they went to review. And I'd watched the replay like 4 or 5 times. They went to review. And I'm like, what are we talking about here? Why are we having a review? This is the clearest catch I've ever seen. Why are we reviewing this? I was terrified they were going to take that away. Absolutely terrified. But I think the eye in the sky referees in New York all looked at it and they're like, yeah, we're going to get eviscerated if we turn this over. So it's a touchdown. Ramondre Stevenson, Henderson, the running game didn't get off to a great start, but they had that great drive towards the end of the game where they just kept running the football and kept picking up first downs and really iced that thing away. And I'm pretty excited. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I thought this was going to be a fun little playoff run, and maybe Houston gets them. I mean, we're playing with house money right now, the New England Patriots. If you're a Patriots fan, you're playing with house money. You weren't supposed to get to the playoffs this year. You weren't supposed to win the AFC East this year. You sure as hell weren't supposed to get to the AFC Championship game this year. All that stuff was coming a couple of years down the road when Drake May developed, and there were improvements at wide receiver. And the offensive line, you know, sort of cohesed more. That's when all that stuff was coming in the next year or two. This is house money for the Patriots now. They weren't supposed to be here. And they're here. And they're going to Denver next week, this coming Sunday, 3:00, to take on the Denver Broncos. And they're huge favorites. It would be stunning if they lost that game. Because Bo Nix is out and you get Jared Stidham. If Jared Stidham beats him, man. If Jared Stidham beats him, now you feel like, yeah, you're playing with house money, but now you feel like a loser if you lose this game this week. And then the news comes down yesterday that Zach Charbonnet, running back of the Seattle Seahawks, he's done for the year. He tore his ACL. Everything seems to be coming up Patriots, doesn't it? Everything seems to be coming up Patriots. It's amazing. I mean, they should get to the Super Bowl. And if anything happens to Sam Darnold's oblique, they might win the thing. I mean, as of now, I think Seattle's going to win the thing. Which, Sam Darnold's Super Bowl champion just doesn't roll off the tongue. You know, it doesn't seem like something we should ever be saying. It seems like a sign of the apocalypse. Sam Darnold, Super Bowl champion. Imagine if he was a Super Bowl MVP. Who would have thought that? Certainly not the Jets. And that's even more egg on the face of the New York Jets. That, you know, the guy they jettisoned is on the verge of going to the Super Bowl and probably winning it. Sam Darnold. Who saw that coming? But the Patriots, it's house money. They're playing terrific football right now. I don't think we need to hear any more about the easy schedule. Although, if you listen to Boston Sports Talk Radio, they'll sure shove that down your throat. Easy schedule. They just beat the best defense in football. And yeah, it helped that Houston had some injuries on the offensive side of the ball. Nico Collins out of that game. Schultz got hurt in the middle of it. And yeah, it was fortunate for Patriots fans that Bo Nix broke his ankle in overtime. Maybe that wasn't the right phrasing, but you know what I mean. You know, I'm just still stunned that we're going to the AFC Championship game and we have a good shot at winning it. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right, we're going to cut things off here. And we'll be back tomorrow. We got Mike Kozik on the show tomorrow. You'll actually hear him a little later on today doing the M&M show. That's coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. Thanks for tuning in to Morning Drive here on WTBR. And we will be back with you tomorrow.